Okay. Boy, that was great. That time, you know, just getting together and praying like that, and especially manifestations. You know, that's what God designed for his people. And it's just, it's pretty amazing what we have. I'd like for you to turn, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to, as a matter of fact, let's put a ribbon, if you have one, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, okay, because we're going to begin here, leave, and then we're going to come back. Some of the things that we've looked at recently, things regarding the guarding of the heart, the guarding of our lips or our words. All of these things, or the concern for those things, should stem from a reverence of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our Father. We're not concerned with these things in an effort to be righteous or to win righteousness. Rather, we're concerned because we are righteous and we live in an unrighteous world. We've been set free from the sin and its authority. And we're going to spend a little time considering that. We're going to begin today. But we've been set free from those things. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ because of his sacrifice on our behalf. And this is how we are seen. This is how we are identified in the spiritual realm. There is no mistake. There is no mistaking who we are in the spiritual realm. We're sons of the living God. We have Holy Spirit born within. Do you understand that? You know, just as there's no mistaking who Jesus Christ is in the spiritual realm. He is at the right hand of God, and he's seated far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named. And in case you're wondering about it, not only in this age, but in the one to come. See? That's where our Lord Jesus Christ sits. So, this is who and what we are, and one of the things that, and I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, but I mentioned how that one of the areas that the adversary has been so successful at it is to rob us or to talk us out of or to minimize our identity and who we are in Christ, because that is the reality. That's the reality. What God says is. Makes sense, doesn't it? What God says is. And we're going to read what God says is. That's what we're going to read this morning. So I want to begin here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to begin sort of in the middle of this context. But in verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what? All were dead." This word constrains is a word that means to compel or to motivate. Prior to this, Paul and those men that he was with walked through some of the things that they were going through and how that they looked at the things which were not seen rather than the things that were seen. And that they did what they did on behalf of God and on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and in service to these believers at Corinth. See? And what motivated him, what compelled him, was the love of Christ. When you read about some of the things that he went through, and then you read these words, it is the love of Christ that compels us. There's a depth to that. For people to endure some of the things that Paul endured, and for the love of Christ to be his motivation, he knew something. He understood something. See? And then it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Okay? I want you to keep your finger, put a ribbon here, and I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to spend a few minutes here. Romans chapter 5. Again, we're going to look at some verses that you're familiar with. Remember, new eyes. Verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man the sin entered into the world, and the death by the sin. And I'm going to read this with the article. And I'm going to explain why when we're done here. Okay? But it's referring to the sin that Adam did, carried out in his rebellion against God. The death is referring to the result of that sin, which was the loss of life or spirit life that later issued in some of the other things that we see when it comes to mortality, death, physical death, sickness, and all these other things that issue out from the sin and the death that Adam originally created or originally caused. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we read. And the King James gets a little clunky. I'm going to end up sharing from a different version. But, you know, once we're through this. But let's just pay attention to this, and I want you to keep that in mind. And that's why I'm reading the sin and the death. It's important to understand that, to distinguish it from, you know, our individual sin. I mean, that's a result. But what we're talking about is much bigger. Okay? Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter. The death reigned. It reigned. It held kingly sway. It reigned. Okay. From Adam to Moses, from whom we got the law, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure or the type of him that was to come? Then verse 15. Now the King James reads, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." That is a very clunky way of saying the free gift ain't nothing like the trespass. Okay? And what we're going to see in this section is that that free gift, as compared, it can't be compared to that trespass, and it is so, so out of proportion what God has given by grace. God's grace is way out of proportion to the result of Adam's disobedience. It's important to understand, and we'll see why here in a few minutes. These are, I know these are words many of you have heard before, but I just want you to think about this. What God has done, how big this is, who we are. This is God saying this is what is. Then it says, but now is the offense, so also is the free gift. They can't be compared. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much, this is an example of how they can't be compared, much more, or way, way out of proportion, it's much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace, which is by the one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. Verses 15 through 17 are a kind of a comparison. And then we're going to read verse 18, which sort of summarizes this comparison. It's kind of neat. Verse 16. It says, the King James reads, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift." That is a clunky way of saying the gift is not like the one man's sin. They're very different in that one is much greater, way out of proportion to the other. The gift, one that sins, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. This grace of God not only covers the sin of Adam, but everything else that issued from that sin. Every sin of mankind, everything that resulted from that, God's grace and gift covers. It is way out of proportion. Isn't that something? And then it says, verse 17. So, it should read, "So if by one man's offense the death reigned, held kingly sway, life was subject to the death, much more, they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the one, Jesus Christ." That which held kingly sway as a result of Adam was the death. That which holds kingly sway now is grace. See? And it's way out of proportion. Then verse 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. I'm going to read this. This is from the Holman Christian Bible, Holman Christian Study Bible. ESV is pretty good. There are some other versions that are pretty good. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many. And the gift is not like the one man's sin. Because from one sin came the judgment, resulting in condemnation. But from many trespasses, gazillions of trespasses, came the gift, resulting in justification. Since by the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And here's the summary. So then, as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act, there is life-giving justification for everyone. What God deals with here, and I just want to draw a little illustration for you, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this. I want you to think about this, though. What God deals with here is the cause, which is the sin, and the death, which is the loss of spirit that resulted from that rebellion, that treachery that Adam committed. And you could understand it as his dealing with the root. The root of the problem was the sin and then the death that resulted. Okay? If you kill the root of a tree, what happens to all the stuff that springs from that root? Dies. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That's right. It dies. Start to see how big this is, that Jesus Christ. So now we'll pick it up in Romans 6. We're going to start in verse 3. And we're going to read a section of Romans 6 here. These are some of the greatest verses in really getting into your heart and understanding identity and who you are in Christ. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are or were buried with him by baptism into death. You know, an example of this, and it's called baptism. It's called a baptism. Referring, I think it's in, I forget where it is, 1 Corinthians 10 maybe. But it's talking about Moses and how that Israel, they were baptized together when they went through the Red Sea together. Moses was the only one that did anything. This thing was between Moses and God. God said to Moses, look it, what are you talking to me for? Lift up your staff. Remember? And it was Moses, it was between Moses and God. And Moses lifted up that staff and the waters parted. Okay? And then all of Israel walked through on dry ground. They were baptized together. Moses was the only one that did anything. But they all got the deliverance. Do you understand? We are baptized into who? That's right. See? He did it. It's no different. He did it. And the deliverance that he paid for is done. It's a done deal. That's who and what we are. That's what we have. It's just, it's amazing. And the more that we understand and appreciate this, and really, boy, that's where you start to appreciate our God and what he's done. I mean, it hurts the brain to try and picture some of the things we have coming. It's just too much. But it's coming. And all because we believed on Jesus Christ. Right? So I hope that helps you understand a little bit about this baptized into Christ. And we were buried with him. Just like those complaining Jews walk through on dry ground, right? It's beautiful. What an awesome God. I probably shouldn't have stated it quite that way. But anyway. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. This is what God says. Walk in newness of life. And he's going to go on and explain this a little further. For if we have been planted together, united, identified together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be destroyed or rendered inactive, that henceforth we are not a slave to sin. No longer are we a slave to sin. No longer do we serve sin. It's done. That was put to death. You can never again be unborn again. You can never again not be in Christ. You can never again not have the Spirit of God alive within you. You can never again not have eternal life. You can't undo it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's dead. It's really that simple. That's what's being revealed here. Jesus Christ did this on our behalf. He endured all the wrath that was due by the treachery of Adam, all the branches, all the fruit of that despicable root, he bore it all on our behalf. We just walk across dry ground with him. Isn't that something? It's breathtaking. See? For he that is dead is free. You're free. You're free from the sin. You're free. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto the sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon, just like this. That's what likewise means. Just like this, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God. In, it should read, Jesus Christ. Alive unto God in Jesus Christ. Christ. In Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to Romans 8. We're going to read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to wrap up in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8. I want you to remember this walking in newness of life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it's referring to the condemnation of Adam. The condemnation of Adam was all that resulted from the sin. All the bad stuff that resulted from the sin. This is big. This is really big. What we have available to us. Is bigger than most of us allow. Let me rephrase that. I think it's bigger than all of us allow right now. Because the root is gone. Now I understand, you know, we live in an unrighteous world, but we have the Spirit of the living God. And I understand that we have to put up with the information that comes from that lying, unrighteous world. But we have the Word of God. And I can choose. I can choose what I'm going to latch on to, what I'm going to believe, what I'm going to accept, and what I'm going to reject. And I have a God who will help me to do that and show me. Because sometimes I don't even know what to reject, man. Right? But he'll work in us to the end of his good pleasure. That's the kind of relationship we have. We are righteous before him. We're his sons. This is real. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The rest of that verse isn't in the text, in any text, or critical Greek text. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of the sin and the death. Those things have been dealt with. The sin has been dealt with. The death has been dealt with. And the law that was to control the flesh, which couldn't be controlled, has been dealt with. We are freed from the law, and we are freed from the curse of the law. Isn't that something? We're in Christ. So, you know, the stipulations of the law to be righteous or just before God are no longer in play. It's Christ. The curse of the law for disobedience is also dealt with in Christ. Isn't that something? See? Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned the sin in the flesh. We're going to read here in a moment. This, you know, for the sin. He was our sin offering. And he took on every, you can read about this in Isaiah. We're going to look at that coming up next week. We're going to look at some things regarding these great truths. But Jesus Christ took all of this on. He took on the penalty and the wrath for the sin, and he also took on the fruit, if you will, of that sin. Okay? Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5. Isn't this great stuff to look at and to think about? It really challenges the heart. But it's beautiful because these things are true. You know, it's just so awesome. Back to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to reread verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ, it constrains, it motivates, it compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what? All were dead. Everybody was dead in Adam. Everybody. No exceptions. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and what? Think about this. Nothing else makes any sense. I was dead. That's it. I was dead. I was dead in the sin and the death. Dead. That's the only thing that's going to hold kingly sway in my life. Jesus Christ was beaten more than any man, took that on, released me from death, so that I could walk with life. Thanks, Jesus. I think now I'm going to go on my own merry way. It doesn't even make sense, does it? No, and that's what this is saying. You were dead. He gave you life. It doesn't make sense now to go live for yourself. No, live for him who loved you. That's what this is teaching. And this is what he's exhorting these Corinthians to do. Live for him that loved you. Wherefore, verse 16, henceforth know we no man after or according to the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after or according to the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after or according to the flesh. Now let's just take a moment here. You know, we are in Christ. We are in he who has been risen, who is seated at the right hand of God. The preeminent one. The one with the name above every name that's named. Do you understand? We are in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of power. We're seated with him. That's who we are. Jesus, according to the flesh, is the one that paid the price so that we could be in Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. And it's the day of that resurrection that it's being referred to when God says, this day have I begotten thee. Ah! Isn't that something? That's who we're in. So understanding that, now you read the next verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it says, the new has come. the new has come. So this is how we're to see ourselves, and this is how we're to see one another. Not according to the flesh, but in Christ. In the Christ who is seated at the right hand of power. That's how we see one another. Isn't that something? The new has come. We are a new creation in Christ. We have the life of God born within. And so many times, you know, believers, they don't live like they got that. They don't live like they got a faithful God. They don't live like Jesus Christ has paid the price. That's by choice. But it's there. It is. That's the thing here. It is. Because God says it is. Right? You know, I've got no problem saying God's right, I'm wrong. I have no issue with that. Matter of fact, I like it when I realize that. Right? Yeah, man, you are right, God. That's a good day. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in speaking to the church of Corinth, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. This is what God's given for all of us to be and to have. And you know, the church of Corinth responded. It's got a good ending. Yeah. See, but this is what God's given to each one of us. See? And that we have the privilege to hold forth the Lord Jesus Christ, to make known Jesus Christ by our words, by our lives, by our action. We can help one another to rise up to see each other according to that new creation. We can help one another to receive and understand that Jesus Christ has paid the price for the sin and all that results from that. Verse 21, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be, and it should read, the sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what? The righteousness of God in him. See. What God says is, and this is who I am. This is my identity. For me to live another way, for me to live as one who doesn't have spirit, for me to live as one who wasn't worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be a counterfeit ID. And I could go through life living that counterfeit ID, but I'd realize my real identification at the return. But between you, me, and the lamppost, I'd like to realize it before then. Thank you. How about you guys? Amen. Yeah, see, this is the stuff God's called us to, and we can do this. And that's what we do in the church. That's what we do among each other. We help one another to rise up and believe this stuff. And we all need it. We all need that. So, amen.